And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. David Poyle, who normally joins us at 11:15 on these days, that would be Tuesday. Today it'll be 10:15, so an hour earlier. So David Poyle, Predators general manager, in about 15 minutes. Darren McFarland, that's me, Chase McCabe.
What's going on? Hey, Tom, still waiting on your tweet, man. Where you at?
That's him, TB12.
I tweeted this morning.
It's the guy who keeps tweeting at you right there. Willie Donick is in Montreal. Canadians and Predators tonight, 6 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 5. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Elijah Campbell behind the glass. Elijah?
Howdy.
Did you watch ETSU punch their ticket into March Madness last night?
I sure did. Wofford gave them a battle in that first half, but... I mean, ETSU's depth is pretty tough to beat. They looked good last night.
Tell you what, Steve Forbes has done a really good job there.
Bruce Pearl disciple, Steve Forbes.
Really good job. And I'll tell you what, they may be an interesting upset team.
Oh, I tweeted could last be. Night, I think they could win 2 games.
Oh.
I mean, they've got about, I think it's 7 or 8 guys that average at least 7 points a game. So they've got incredible balance on that team.
Are they going to be probably, what, a 15 or a 16?
Oh, I saw last night that even if they lost, they were Lenardi had him as an 11.
I was say a 12.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah. They'll flirt around that.
Could be a 12. I think 13 at the latest, but I don't see that. I think they're in the 11 or 12.
Yeah, very with their resume. Their win at LSU helped a lot in seeding. So I could even maybe see a 10. If Wofford last year was able to get hooked up with a 10 seed, then I think ETSU can probably pull that off as well.
Because last night's win was what, win number 30?
Win number 30. So they finished 30-4, and they end up finishing 16-2 overall in their conference.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's probably more in the 10-12 range for East Tennessee State. So six teams have punched their tickets into the NCAA tournament, and 2 of them are from the state. So pretty cool. Now, that's probably the last 2.
Barring a miracle.
I don't know who am I missing. Is Memphis not getting in, right? They're not getting in.
It would take a lot, I guess, for Memphis to get in. By a lot, I mean winning their conference tournament, which isn't crazy because the AAC is pretty balanced, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't either. So I think it's going to be Belmont and ETSU. That's it from the state. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so. Tennessee? No. Vandy? No.
No.
I mean,
Middle? No.
Middle didn't even make their own conference tournament. Say,
that's a definite no. We know that.
Austin Peay, unfortunately.
But Tennessee, that's a no. Tennessee and Vanderbilt, the only way is, I think, just to win, cut down the nets here. And
Memphis, probably not.
No, that's what we were just talking about.
Yep.
So anyway, David Poyle at 10:15. So we will have a good discussion with him, and we're looking forward to that. Speaking of the SEC men's basketball tournament, we'll be there Thursday and Friday. It all starts Wednesday night. Georgia, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas. And more things continue to develop. We talked about it yesterday on the show. It was not really made official, but after the show yesterday, it seems like it's been made official by the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and MLS.
I never remember seeing a joint statement from leagues before until now.
Well, that's all the leagues that are active right now, their seasons in play, and we can ask David Poyle about that and what that means for tonight and moving forward. I don't know if he has the answers or anybody has the answers, and I don't know where this is going because Vanderbilt, their classes, all online now.
Yep.
Schools still shutting down. People are making adjustments, and you wonder if Northern California has made the adjustment of 1,000 or more people. Not happening. And not, you know, now the Sharks have sent out a release, so I don't know where all this is going. I don't know if, I probably scoffed and said, yeah, that's one thing in Italy or somewhere else, but I can't imagine that they're actually going to play games, sporting events in front of no one. But Who knows where this is going?
I know. It's definitely concerning, but, you know, hopefully in time, you know, it'll all get figured out. But it's uncharted waters for sure.
Chase, what do I have in front of me?
You have an Orca tumbler.
Yes.
A tumbler.
Tumbler, a thermos,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I love this thing.
Yeah.
It's great.
You have it with you every day.
Every single day before the show. And on the line with us right now, by the way, we have our phones back. We are very,
woohoo,
very excited about that. First time in over a week since, unfortunately, the storms that rolled through our area. So we have our phones back today. And Mark Wills is on the line with us. And I bring up Orca, what I have in my hand right now, because he's doing some work with Orca coolers and helping out. And I'm going to let Mark kind of take it from here. Mark, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Those Orca chasers are awesome, aren't they?
Is that the official
term? Chaser, yeah.
Hey, Chase, you should know that.
Well, it's the handheld. It's like, you know, it's like a glass. It's like a big glass that those things are awesome. And we have been with Orca for about the last 4 years of our tour. They sponsor us, take care of us. We sport their coolers out on the road and take chasers all over the place And thank you guys so very much for all your help with helping get Orca out there and helping support all the tornado victims over the last week.
Mark, when I bring this in, we have a 4-hour radio show every day, and I bring it in at the start of the show. And if I haven't polished this sucker off by the end of the show, which is basically never, but if I had not, it would still be just as hot at the end of the show that it was at the beginning of the show. Now, that's an endorsement.
That is right. That's the good thing about good quality merchandise, my man.
No doubt about it. And we just talked about it a week ago, dealt with a lot of devastation and tragedy and people's lives turned upside down in our area. And we've been trying to do our part. A lot of people have been doing their part. That's why it's the volunteer state. That's why we love Nashville, and we're Nashville strong. But I know you've been a part of the relief efforts as well, and I want you to tell everybody what's going on.
Well, you know, Orca has been, like I said, they've been one of our tour sponsors for the last couple of years, and you know, when everything happened last week, the phones started ringing with people asking, you know, how can we help? What can we do? You know, when the power goes out, you need a place to put stuff on ice. You need a place to put drinks for the relief workers and the people that are helping out. And so, you know, Orca donated basically about half of the warehouse full of just, you know, sending coolers out the door to help out. And the phone started ringing, and that's what was great about the relief effort. The phone started ringing, and people were saying, you know, how can we help? What can we do? Customers and different businesses. And so Orca has come up with a buy one, give one. And so what people are doing is, you know, they can call in and they can buy a cooler, and they can buy the cooler for themselves, or they can buy the cooler and donate it. And Orca will match that and give one of the coolers to the relief workers to help out. You know, I mean, it's all of this is going to Hands on Nashville and staying right here in Middle Tennessee. It's been a beautiful example of helping your neighbor out in a time of crisis, because, you know, Orca is based right here in Nashville.
Well, Mark, I think it's cool too that Orca's donated approximately $40,000 in coolers to Hands on Nashville and raised about $25,000 for the Community Foundation. It's not just coolers being donated, but some funds being raised as well. Very cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and that's, and so if you go to orcacoolers.com, they have a Tennessee Strong chaser, and that's what we were talking about when you know when the interview started. You're talking about your chaser. They're doing the proceeds of that and the coolers going to Hands on Nashville, and that's back to what we were saying. I mean, that's the main deal, man. You know, when something happens to your neighbor, you always try to help out. And this is our community, you know, not just the music community, but the sports community. You know, people that may not like sports or country music, you know, you may still live here. It's not a fan-based helping out. This is helping your neighbor, and we're happy and honored to get to be a part of that.
Mark, we're happy that you joined us, and we wanted to get the word out. By the way, I have seen, and I learned something today. I didn't realize it was called a chaser, and I'm a little disappointed in the guy next to me. His name is Chase, that he didn't know this was called a chaser.
You would think I would know that.
I call him Chaser sometimes, so I learned that, but I have seen those Orca chasers, by the way, the Tennessee or Nashville Strong, and they're fantastic. It's just like on the wall, right? I mean, isn't it amazing to see that structure? I believe in Nashville that still standing and the rest of the building.
Nashville East,
the
wall.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
That's the crazy thing about Mother Nature, man. I was here in 98 when the tornado came through downtown. I mean, that was kind of the beginning of my career. I was born and raised in Georgia. Lived right on the Georgia-Tennessee line my whole life. Seen this kind of weather for my 46 years, and it never gets any easier. You know, when you hear the stories of survival, you hear the stories of loss, people losing their homes, people losing their lives. That never changes. You know, every time a disaster like this happens, you have heroic efforts. You have horrible incidents of people losing their lives. And back to what we were saying about, you know, being able to help out, being able to be involved and help give of our resources. And that's what we're extremely happy and proud to be able to do.
Well, thank you for using your platform and helping out others. So we appreciate it. And thanks for coming on and getting the word out.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Chase, for having us on. And, thank you guys for helping keep the community together.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. That is country music star Mark Wills and Orca Coolers. And they're doing good work today, and they've been doing good work. As you mentioned, Chase, they've already donated approximately $40,000 in coolers to Hands on Nashville, and they've raised approximately $25,000 for Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee. So we appreciate Mark for joining us. When we come back, Predators General Manager David Poile, his weekly chat with us next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Eli! Once the voice of the Predators. Yes, little known fact.
He was.
For a season. Yes, sir.
Sure David Poile remembers that.
I'm sure he does. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, David Poile, Predators General Manager, joins us every Tuesday on the program, and he's brought to you by Gary Force Acura in Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I've known Eli Gold for years. I knew Eli Gold when he got his start on Long Island, and his first gigs in broadcasting were not football. They were hockey.
Yes, sir.
And he did the Birmingham Bulls in minor leagues and the WHA and did some NHL stuff before he went to Alabama. So I just want all you football fans to know he got his roots in hockey first.
Well done, by the way. Well done. That was fantastic. Let's start with what's going on. And it kind of happened after our show yesterday. It was out over the weekend, but it really wasn't made official. What can you tell us on what the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and MLS have said about, you know, nobody in locker rooms? What have you learned in the last 24 hours on that front that you can pass along?
Probably no more than you have. I mean, I think everything that's coming out is very, very public. I think everybody's just operating basically day to day on these situations. Leagues, cities, everybody's in contact with their local governments, all the health organizations, and we're kind of in uncharted territory in my existence. We've never had something like this. We've had, you know, the SARS and different viruses, but I think the sort of the good and bad news, and right now is the social media is getting information out there instantly, so everybody's in the know, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, they're getting it out there, and I think people are reacting, and I certainly don't want to say overreacting because I don't know enough about this, but it's just caused so much more reaction than we've ever seen before from, you know businesses like stay at home, less travel, probably some school closing, et cetera, so... That's all I know. I mean, I the last thing I understand understood when we were in Dallas the other day, and they basically told the anybody that comes near our room, including the media, that would bring three players out and do it in a conference room where there wasn't as much possible contact and where you could, you know, get a virus or what have you. So it's very complicated, and it's obviously very serious, but that's as much as I know.
With 14 games remaining in the season, I'm just asking you your opinion. I don't think you've got any firsthand knowledge of this, but I'm just along these lines. I mean, I don't think I would have ever believed this until, as we sit here today on this Tuesday, and everything has escalated to where it is. As you said, schools, I mean, Vanderbilt announcing they're not even having classes. Everything is going to be online now for the foreseeable future. Do you think we're actually going to see a hockey game in front of no one?
Oh, I don't want to be the one that has to say that. But when you have Santa Clara County in California say that, is, I guess that's an edict to respond to that. I know the NHL is, you know, having, you know, discussions and meetings today amongst every team. And then I'd have to believe it's the same happening for other sports leagues and other, obviously, it's for other events that are for more than 1,000 people. So I really hope it's not that serious. I hope it doesn't happen. But, I mean, again, people that know more about this, people that are in the health business, they're the ones that are probably going to make the decision. We're going to have to probably follow along.
Yeah. I'm going to go on and assume, even though that's a dangerous word, that you're pleased with how this team responded to the last two games against the Stars.
I am. Again, very close games, featured, you know, strong defensive play, excellent goaltending on both teams. We scored, they didn't. So it's a good ending. I also thought we kind of slayed the dragon a bit in the last two games, because Dallas has not been a good opponent for us for a long, long time, including all last year and then again in the playoffs. So that was a big mountain to get over in terms of our confidence, and another reason why I think we have a good chance to make the playoffs. So I thought as a team effort, especially in the Dallas game for the first two periods, I really thought that was probably as good as we played for a long, long time in terms of a whole team concept system and limiting them to, you know, reasonable chances and playing a strong game.
You know, you made one deadline day deal, and it was sending Matt Irwin to Anaheim and getting Holzer in return. I don't know if he's the magic pill or bean, but you guys are 2-0 since he's been in the lineup. And I'm just saying, in all seriousness, that third D pairing of Tenorti and Holzer, what they've done on the penalty kill, kind of the message, especially Tenorti, sent with Corey Perry in both games, didn't appreciate the Winter Classic, you know, didn't appreciate the way he acts and conducts himself on the ice. Just talk about their play and what they have meant, and really how far that can go in a room when you have what Tenorti did in those games. I know there were others. Roman Josi obviously got fined, which I don't agree with, but that's neither here nor there. And the play of Holzer, you know, those guys standing up for their teammates.
Yeah, really, small change, but could be a real big factor going forward. As you mentioned, Tony Killian has been excellent with those two guys kind of leading the way. I look at them, they're two big, like, oak trees. They're very hard to move out, and they do a good job of moving out the opponents. Tony Killian has not been one of our strengths this year, and the fact that we didn't allow any goals and our penalty killing was strong with them, that feels really good. And I totally agree with what you said about and I believe they got a lot of praise from the coach and the players for their play, their physicality. I also would like to include in that group like a Trennan that's come up and has been playing for us a little bit, another bigger body, doing a lot of hitting. I think Ekholm has taken up his game, seeing these other oak trees back there, and it feels like it's a little bit more of a playoff type of a team with those guys in our lineup right now.
David, for a guy who drafted Pekka and a guy that has meant so much to this franchise, and look, there's no doubt he is the most popular Predator ever, and I don't know how long it's going to be, if ever, when somebody probably unseats him of being the most popular Predator ever. He just is, and he's going to be. This is tough, right, because of the person that he is, and he's the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, and you're going to need him at some point. But right now, UC Saros is getting the starts, and he's obviously just pitched back-to-back shutouts. Pekka, I think he only had four starts in the month of February. How tough is it for you just knowing him like you do and having so much invested in him, kind of seeing him play kind of the backup for the first time?
Yeah, that's the tough part of being a manager. And, you know, you bring players in and you see them develop as players, as a person, you know, what they do, of course, on the ice, what they do off the ice, and all those things. So it's hard. I know it's hard on you know, Pekka right now. He's obviously a pro. He wants to be in the net. You know, for me, it's not the best of situations, to be honest. I mean, so we both know this day is inevitable. We talked about it when we signed his extension there last year. You know, he knows it too. He's certainly supportive of Saros. But having said that, we're all in this to win, and I think Pekka gets it. He understands it. I mean, as you said, we got 14 games left. He's going to play in lots of games. I mean, things change on a dime in terms of good play, bad play, you know, all that stuff that I always say. So, I mean, it's just a change right now. So Pekka's not going anywhere. He's not gone. He's going to help us, and he's going to be playing for us next year. So let's not write off Pekka. I think he'll be a big factor when it's all said and done, especially this year.
We're talking to Predators general manager David Poile, and you brought up the big oak trees on defense for you, but there's also the lumberjack and Ryan Ellis. He's got the beard for it for sure. That has really been impressive since he returned to the lineup after the injury. He had the game winner the other day. We know what he can do offensively, but has he kind of been one of the key pieces to help shore things up defensively for your team?
I think we were, you know, really struggling, you know, with the 20 games that Ryan was out. You know, guys were not in the right place, right order, as we used to say. You know, we got to get everybody on the bus and get him in the right seat. And just people weren't in the right seat. And right now with our top six, or the way we've played our top six in the last couple of games, everybody seems to be in the right place. And consequently, I think it's been really probably the best our defense has looked all year. So, you know, Ryan's top player. He's a leader on our team. He's scoring at the highest rate he's ever scored at this in his career. So, you know, as we talked about the trading deadline, what's your best move at the trading deadline? Best move was getting Ryan Ellis back in the lineup.
Do you feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about four forwards specifically, of knowing that there's another level, trying to get more out of them. Forsberg broke through and scored the other night, as did Duchesne. Are you starting to see some improvement out of those guys, see them return to more of their form?
I think so. I mean, we could kind of move as a team. The goaltending is knock on wood, is playing good. The defense we just talked about is playing good. Forwards, you know, our third and fourth line are playing very good. We just need to get more scoring out of our top guys. And I'm just repeating what you said, we're seeing a little bit of that. And that's what's going to get us, you know, in the playoffs. And that's what's going to get us over the hump, is when the top guys, you know, score on a more consistent basis.
I think with Phillip, like what I was saying about him is that, I mean, he was getting the shots, he was getting the looks, they just weren't going in. And I know that can mess with a player and be like, hey, why are they not going in? What has to go my way? Do you think it was some of that with him once the coaching change happened and he got used to that system, that they simply weren't going in, and maybe it was a little bit of a mental game, and now he's broken through?
Yeah, I'm sure it's some of that and some other situations. I mean, you know, pro sports is full of guys that have had great streaks and have had long droughts. And I mean, you wonder why. I don't think it's physical. I think you're just a little bit mental. I mean, we all get in a little bit of a funk every once in a while, and hopefully it's over. I mean, these guys got to dig down deep. They got to remember and look at what they did when they're having good success, not dwell on the negative situations, and they got to fight through. That's all part and parcel. I mean, it's a hard game, and it's hard to score, and you have to go to hard areas to make that happen. And you got to get hit. You got to make a commitment. You got to sacrifice a little bit. And that's, you know, it's probably just a lot of different things. What we do know by history shows us they're all capable of playing at a higher level, specifically, I mean, you know, offensively. And again, we need that tonight. We need that going forward. And if we're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be a key to getting us there.
Montreal tonight, and of course, you're very familiar with their captain, Shea Weber. And I look at this organization and their different eras, and the time that he was here, you really saw a lot of changes, a lot of growth in the organization. And I start with, you know, his contract. I mean, that was obviously a big commitment by ownership to match that contract, to keep him here. But when you look back on the time that Shea was not only the captain but played for this organization, what are some things that you think about?
Again, just like, you know, kind of Pekka, just a young guy drafted in the second round. I mean, how good is he really? And, you know, playing down in Milwaukee, getting bigger, stronger. Boy, this guy looks like he's going to be a good player, really good prospect. And then bringing up to National Hockey League, playing with Ryan Suter. And, you know, in my mind, arguably they were close to, if not the best pair in the National Hockey League. Then seeing, you know, Shea become our captain. Again, growing in that role, you know, everybody's different as in their leadership. I mean, some guys are vocal, you know, some guys can do it on the ice. I think what Shea was famous for, especially within our locker room, was kind of the stare or the glare, which got guys in their place, you know, pretty much. So what, he's had a fantastic career. He's been a great player all his career, and certainly, you know, right there with Pekka's. Probably the top two guys in the history of the Predators franchise.
David, enjoy the road trip. Enjoy the game tonight. And we certainly appreciate the visit, as always. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
All right. That is David Poile, Predators general manager. And every week he is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. There's been another team punch their ticket in the NCAA tournament, and they didn't even play another game. That just happened. We'll tell you what we're talking about on the other side and talk a little bit more about the Predators here in hour number one of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We thank David Poile for joining us. Predators in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. 6 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 5. Then they'll stay in Canada. They'll go to Toronto on Thursday, so it'll be the Canadiens and then the Leafs on Thursday. Same time, different place. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Just reading during the break, right as we wrap things up with David Poile, that the Ivy League has decided to cancel its conference tournament due to coronavirus, and they are going to just name their regular season champ, Yale, and just go on and tell them, go on and punch your ticket in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I just saw that too. That's interesting. Look, I mean, I get that this is something we all have to take serious, but now it's at the point where you're altering. They have now altered the postseason. I mean, this has altered the postseason. That's what that has done, because we don't know if Yale was going to win it and punch their ticket.
No, likely, but you know, you're right. That's why they have tournaments.
That's why they play the games. So
nobody would have predicted Utah State to win their conference tournament, and they did.
Yeah. So and that changed, that altered things, because now you're going to have them in and they weren't supposed to be, and that's going to change things. So I don't like that. I think that's something that I guess they feel they have to do, but it's almost a little bit of a quick reaction, and I think it now has altered possibly a team that's going to be in the NCAA tournament.
There's a reason I asked David about playing in front of empty stands, empty seats, in front of no one in a building. I can't imagine that, but I also could not imagine everything that's happened to this point. I certainly want to be sensitive to this matter and take this serious, because it is, but I've got to be honest, I'm a little confused on how far all of this is going, because, like, for example, Northern California, that county, a gathering of 1,000 or more. So 980 people that's okay. But if you get 1,100 people, that's where things can get dicey. I mean, I don't, like, where do you come up with that number? And I guess where I'm a little confused, kind of like what I said yesterday. So no media in locker rooms, but you're going to trot out players and coaches to a podium in a room full of media. Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out what's the line? Like, what are we supposed to, if everything is just going to be shut down, like, what are we doing here? I don't know. What are we all doing anywhere? I mean,
right.
Shouldn't we all just be at home?
Right. I mean, that's
in a bubble. I mean, I'm not saying that to be a smart aleck. I'm just saying that to say what's the cutoff? I mean, we just had a meeting here, the radio station before the show, a gathering in the conference room. Is that safe? Clearly, I think it is, but I don't know. I mean, what is safe? What's not safe? I mean, I don't know where this is going. Vanderbilt canceled all their classes. It's now online. Schools are doing the same thing. I mean, there's things being canceled everywhere. Things we've been talking about on the show, festivals, events, all canceled. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying if that's what we're supposed to do, then what are we doing? Like, why are we here? Should we be taking a kit home and doing the show from the house, Chase? I
hope it doesn't get to that point, but this is what happens when you don't know. Like, we don't know a lot about this strain, and we don't know anything. They're trying to figure it out and find a vaccine and all of that. So when you don't know something, that's when panic usually starts. And you have the first domino to fall of, okay, we're going to cancel this. Oh, well, they canceled that. We need to cancel this over here. Oh, well, now we got to go cancel this. And now we got to go stay at home and, get in quarantines and cancel, not have this sporting event and not get everybody together. So it snowballs out of control. My hope is that here in the coming weeks, those that are much smarter than I am figure this out, can come out and say, hey, we have this under control. Everybody can chill, go back to normal things, and we'll all be okay. But the unknown scares people.
I'm just saying, what is, if this, like you said, if the smarter people are the ones, if they have determined that we shouldn't be flying right now, shouldn't everything be shut down? Like, why are you able to, like, right now you can fly basically anywhere.
I just booked my flight
for dirt cheap. And actually, in some places, you can't even fly to anymore. Like Italy, they've shut down the country. I mean, you can't fly in, you can't fly out. Which, by the way, Pete Weber came on with us last week and said that Claudia Weber, his wife, and a group of people were supposed to go to Italy, and they didn't. They decided to cancel.
Yeah.
I think right now that's probably the good idea because I'm not sure they could get back home.
I think
they would have been stuck in Italy. Now, there are worse places to be stuck, but also they've got this deal, this pandemic of the coronavirus, which is affecting their country, and it's affecting it greatly, and it's more than it is here. But I'm just saying we shouldn't do anything, if we shouldn't get on a plane, then why are they?
Pearl Jam canceled their tour,
so
by the way.
Why are we allowed to fly?
Yeah.
Why is it even an option?
That's where
I'm confused. Like, what?
Right.
What is?
And I see.
I'm just asking. Like, I'm willing to go along with whatever the experts or the people smarter than me say, but tell me what the line is. Tell me what it is.
Right.
I mean, we can do this, but we can't do that. It's safe to do this, but it's not safe to do that. I mean, I went in to Sam's Club yesterday by the station here. And if you've been to any Sam's Club, they have shelves, giant shelves. Shelves that go all the way up to the ceiling that you can't even reach, that you need ladders to get to. And they're all packed with stuff. Do you know I went in there yesterday and there was not a single roll of toilet paper or a single roll of paper towels anywhere to be found in that place? The entire aisle was barren. Barren. Now, have I missed something? Are we supposed to be stocking up on toilet paper?
Right.
Is this because we're going to be all in our homes here soon and not leaving? I don't know. I'm asking. Is there a reason we should be stocking up on paper towels? Have I missed the memo?
I haven't seen that.
Not a single stitch of either one in Sam's yesterday.
That's
the entire aisle, barren, nothing. Shelves completely empty. The only thing that was on there was the price tags. That's it.
Yeah, I just...
You see what I mean? Like, I just want to know what we're supposed to do. Like, why can we do this, but we can't do that? Like,
right.
Why?
And I said Pearl Jam canceled. They postponed. They have put an indefinite postponement on their tour that was supposed to come here in a couple months. But I don't know. This is all very new. Like, this is just, I don't ever remember in my lifetime anything, you know, happening like this. I mean, we've had diseases that, you know, we've had to deal with. David Poyle brought up SARS and, you know, things
every,
like that.
Every 2 years, I feel like there's been something.
But it's never, I don't think it's ever really gone this far to the point. Like, I think we're going to be talking about a game that is played in front of no fans.
I absolutely think it's. That's the reason, like I said, I asked David Poyle. And I, by the way, I thought he hit on something vitally important. I think social media does have a lot to do with this. A lot. I do. And so when I look at this right now on social media, which is what has happened in the last 15 minutes, the last time I checked, the Ivy League, they're pretty smart, right?
That's kind of their thing.
They never had my name on their list, ever.
Yeah, no. Mine either.
Unless I was going to be like Matt Damon and I was going to be cleaning up the hallways and the bathrooms at the Ivy League school, like in Good Will Hunting. That's the only way they would have my name on a list. But if they're saying, you know what, we're not going to have a tournament, they're pretty smart people, Ivy League. I'm just asking the question, then why is anybody having their tournament? I mean, I want the tournament to be here. But if the Ivy League is shutting down, then why is the SEC not shutting down? Or the Pac-12 or the Big Ten with 14 teams or the ACC or the Big 12? Like, why are they having their tournaments?
You bring that up. It's 10:44 Central Time on Tuesday. They got time. I mean, I know why you're asking.
It starts tomorrow.
I understand. I know why you're asking that question. I don't see any type of cancellation or postponement or whatever coming forward with those leagues, but who's to say
that? You see what I mean? Like, tell me why is it the Ivy League is saying, no, we're not doing it, but yet they're saying we cannot have arenas with people, but yet the other conferences can. So tell me, what am I missing?
But what has started all this? Monkey see, monkey do. One thing cancels, and then the other thing, you know, it's a domino effect. So, you know, who knows that? I mean, we could get a memo here in a few minutes that says that another conference has decided to bag their tournament. But I agree with you. I'm like, okay, if it's all right for the SEC or the ACC, then what's up with the Ivy League? I mean, what do they know that we don't, or think they know that we don't? So I see your point there. It's just, I feel like they meaning government, smart, you know, disease people, they have to figure this out fast, because panic is what's going to cause even more panic. I mean, it's just going to snowball out of control, because it's starting to do that. And it's very serious, but as we look at the joint statements.
By the way, I've never seen...
I haven't either.
...four professional leagues come together with a joint statement. Since I've been on this earth, I've never seen that. Unless I've missed something, I have never seen four professional sports come together with a joint statement on something, in this case, coronavirus.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
So. All right, we will come back and wrap up the first hour. Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Couple news and notes on the NFL side of things. This year's Hall of Fame game.
They cancel it.
In Canton, Ohio. As of right now, they're saying August the 6th, it is still on. They wanted to pass that along. It is on. Tickets are actually going on sale Friday.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it's still early in the day. It's going to be the Cowboys and the Steelers. That'll actually be a well-attended Hall of Fame game.
That could be fun to go to.
So that is, they just made that announcement. It'll be the Cowboys and the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher, of course. That makes sense. Yep. They're both getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Back in the day.
Certainly did. Russell Okung has dropped his name out of the race for NFLPA president. How about that? So he's out. I guess Giants Michael Thomas is still in, but he wanted to take his name out of the running for that. We just passed along that the Ivy League has said.
There's another NFL note, too.
What's that?
The deadline for franchise tag was originally supposed to be today.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was moved to Thursday. Now it has been moved to Monday.
No, then it was, wasn't it moved to Saturday, too? And then
no, that was the vote. That okay. was the vote. For,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that's why they're moving it again. So they are moving it to Monday at 10:59 Central Time. Here is why that is important. By setting the tag deadline as noon Eastern, it allows for the period known as legal tampering to begin as scheduled on Monday. Legal tampering was supposed to start Monday. So they went ahead and they have moved the deadline to Monday. That gives the players time to vote on the CBA. They're trying to get the CBA done because, as we explained yesterday, and I heard Floyd explaining this too, that even though you can issue the franchise and the transition tag, you can use both. You're going to have to rescind one once the CBA is ratified. You could only use the one. It's very confusing. But so they're trying to get all this done before the tag deadline. So I'm going to keep trying on Tom Brady to find out what he's thinking. But, you know, we have a little longer now.
The Texans in the Titans division, their kicker, Fairborn, is set to be a free agent. Not anymore. He just reached I guess he's going to agree to a 4-year deal to remain in Houston. So they're going to keep their kicker on board. So lots of NFL news coming out as they will begin. Everything is going to really take off starting Monday of next week.
Buckle up. It's going to be fun. We've talked about this for the last few weeks.
By the way, Kyle Allen has also re-signed with the Panthers a 1-year deal.
Okay, so we're starting to see some of those re-signings come out. But look, it's going to be a fun few days, and we've been anticipating that because the most quarterbacks that have ever been available. I like the phrase that I've heard many people use, the supply outweighs the demand. So there are going to be some quarterbacks that have been starters or could be starters that won't be because there's not room. Because you also have Joe Burrow, Tua, they're going to come in and, you would assume be day one guys. And then you have Brady that's available. Drew Brees, even though he's going to most likely re-sign with New Orleans. You'll have Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Phillip Rivers. So this is going to be a fun legal tampering period. And, this is where the insiders, this is how they get their money and how they make, get their title. Because these next few days, that's when Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, those guys, they'll start trying, breaking news. Stuff will get out there. The agents are letting them know, hey, we've reached a deal with so-and-so. And so we start getting information during that legal tampering period. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. And it's been a while since I think there's been that much going into free agency. And the Titans are right in the middle of it.
Yep, no doubt about it. The news that we passed along. The Ivy League has canceled their men's and women's basketball tournament completely. Their tournaments have been canceled, and so Yale will be the beneficiary of that, and they will go on to the NCAA tournament, and on the women's side, it'll be Princeton. And we were talking about, Yale would have maybe won, maybe not. I mean, I was kind of looking. I wanted to go back and look and make sure. If you remember, Tommy Amaker is a coach in the Ivy League, and he coaches Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
They finished one game behind Yale in
the
standings.
That's why I'm
one game
kind of against that. And I would be upset if I'm Harvard, if I'm any other team but Yale.
By the way, they beat Yale twice in the regular season.
See?
And finished one game behind Yale.
Chuck Morris on Twitter just sent me this. It's easier for Ivy to cancel since this was just its fourth postseason tourney and men's tournament started on Saturday. Is that right? They've only had four?
Yeah, they just started their tournaments. It used to always be this way. They were the one conference that just crowned their regular season champ, and they would go to the NCAA tournament. So they haven't been. I honestly, I didn't know that this was the fourth year. I thought it was just been the last couple of years.
Right.
But and still, only four teams make it. So they don't even bring that many teams in.
Correct.
So only four teams play.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's but still,
not
I mean,
like
if you're going to have
the
it.
SEC where everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I mean, obviously.
But
I don't.
Still, to your point, it affects. It doesn't
sure.
matter what, if it's only four teams, it doesn't matter if it's just the fourth year. It affects teams. Like Tommy Amaker and Harvard would like to have that tournament.
Sure.
Okay. They don't get to go to the NCAA tournament, and who knows how that would have played out. Okay. It
yeah.
does affect people. It affects things. And I think going back to our previous conversation, I just I'm wondering, like, this is not, it doesn't look like this is stopping anytime soon. I mean, there's literally news coming out every 30 minutes, every hour. Something is happening, right? Something is getting
sure,
canceled.
Something
Something's getting changed. And I'll just go back to what we said. I think I would have laughed at this. Even if we would have had this conversation Friday or over the weekend, I would have been like, yeah, they're not going to play in front of nobody. I'm starting to wonder.
I think it's going to happen.
Is the NCAA tournament going to play in front of no one? Is our hockey games going to be played in front of no one? Are NBA games going to be played in front of no one? Nashville SC, are they going to be played in front of no one?
I certainly hope not. I really hope it doesn't get to that point. I mean, it just, I want everybody to be safe. I'm respectful of the fact that this is serious. I get it. It is. But at the same time, I mean, we got it. We can't live in too much fear. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Franklin D. Roosevelt said that. So, it's my two cents.
I thought you were quoting movies.
No. I was quoting a president.
Look at
that. I didn't need the Ivy League for that.
How about we do this? Since we have phones, we're so excited about that. Caller number six, Elijah. Caller number six. Win a copy of John Feinstein's, the award-winning author, John Feinstein's new book, The Back Roads to March, The Unsung, Unheralded, and Unknown Heroes of a College Basketball Season. Caller number six, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. So we're back to our normal number now that the phone lines are up and running. Caller number six can win John Feinstein's book, and he is always a good read. Right now, I want to talk to you about USS, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994, United Structural Systems. And I want to talk about waterproofing because guess what? It's raining today. There's a lot of rain. Yeah, we've been taking on a lot of rain. And maybe you've noticed some bowing basement walls. Maybe you've noticed some standing water in a crawl space. Maybe you've noticed a smelt, musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, maybe some cracks in basement floors. All these are signs that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. And maybe you're trying to figure out, why is this happening? Well, you may have poor drainage at your house. You may have water seeping through walls. You may have underground pressure that's forcing water into a basement. Well, this is where the folks at USS come into play. They're the experts. You can get them out to your house if something like this is happening. They'll give you a free estimate. They'll tell you what's going on. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. If you are a homeowner, I would hope that has you perk up. And they also they take a lot of pride in their quality of work, their reputation, and the integrity of their work. If you need them out to your house, give them a call, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always go to their website, USSTN.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.